Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, this Friday.
Start spreading the news.
So that means Schomburg Stew is here. Look at that.
I'm here. Are you ready?
All right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you know, we're still pacing ourselves. We're taking our time. The end of the year, we're hoping to have Stu on Twitter. But if not, you can always reach out to me at Burke Time. And as always, I will pass along anything that you would like to tell Stu, good, bad, or indifferent.
There you go.
Yes. Now we are off and running. Look at that. So, yeah, just kind of how it goes. But I heard some, I don't even know if I want to call it interesting talk today. But they seem to think that now just about every team in the NL Central is in contention now. And how long before we see somebody try to make a move to get to the front or get wherever they're trying to go?
Well, there's only, what, about three or four games separating the first, no, teams. Oh, it's really tight.
I'm waiting for my internet to catch up so I can actually find out, but you know how that goes here sometimes. All right, there we go. Let's see. From top to bottom, technically, the Cubs and the Brewers are tied. They have the same winning percentage. The same number of games, too. St. Louis, a game and a half back. They've been playing a little better as of late. Pittsburgh is two games under 500, but they're just three back. And Cincinnati is three games under 500, and they are three and a half back. So, yeah, definitely everybody hanging around. You know, I mean, the Cubs already kind of made a move with the Craig Kimbrel thing. Do we see, who's going to make a move? I mean, you think Pittsburgh and Cincinnati will add at this point? You think they're buying that they're in?
I have my doubts about that happening. And sometimes, you know, that's misleading. That 3.5 game difference could be very misleading because it's very hard to pass all the teams ahead of you, even though you're only down 3.5 games. And I'd be very surprised if Cincinnati or Pittsburgh did anything to improve their ball clubs, although it might happen. Don't forget, they're both small market teams, and can they afford to pay out the big bucks to get someone that could really help them put them to the top of the division?
Well, you know, if it's a guy who's in, like, the last year of his contract, you know, I mean, you can throw Milwaukee into there as well as being small market.
That's
so
true. That's true.
Maybe might be a bigger
a rent player might help those teams out then, right?
Yeah, I know Pittsburgh rarely goes that route, so I would be really surprised if they did anything. I've been reading. It was funny because after all the talk I heard this afternoon about how all the teams are in it, I keep reading stuff now that it looks like the Reds want to attempt to deal Yasiel Puig because he's in the last year of his deal. And they want to deal him because they don't think they can re-sign him. So it's kind of like, okay, well, we've got to, you know, we've got to kind of make up our minds here on what we're doing. But I guess it just depends on who or what you're listening to at the time.
He's got some pop, but you think a contender would want to get someone who's batting 230 and has his history too?
Yeah, you know, the humorous thing with him is I've never really thought, you know, my big push is I honestly think he belongs in Miami. You know, he's Cuban. They need a guy they can build the team around. You know, this is something they can do or somewhere, you know, somewhere they can go and actually, you know, try to get a little, you know, a little attendance bump while they suck. And, you know, I mean, all the, you know, all the kind of things they need, but it doesn't seem like they're, to be honest, it doesn't seem like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, why get that extra cost when, you know, I don't think it's going to help their attendance that much. I don't think they redraw. Either way, will it really jump their attendance that much if they sign Pooh?
Well, you know, anything helps, you know, especially if they have to build around, you know, something. So...
He's a flashy player, but I'm not sure how well that would play in Miami. Maybe it would. Like you say, he's Cuban, and their fan base maybe would pay the money to go out and see him play.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you need, you know, they need something to build, you know, to build somewhere. You know, I mean, it's just kind of. You know, kind of what, you know, what these rebuilding teams need. I mean, you know, give a guy a reason to, you know, at least come, you know, because like here, you know, what's humorous, and Dan does this a lot, like he'll go to White Sox games, but he'll go to see who they're playing. You know, like Jeter's last year, he went to the White Sox-Yankee game to get to see Jeter one more time. You know, so, I mean, even if they're just doing something like that, you know, and, I mean, the Cuban people are going to support their, you know, their own guy, and this way they'll have a guy to support.
Yeah, and he's a flashy player and kind of a little bit volatile, I would say, based upon some of the times I've seen him perform, and he always seems to get involved in skirmishes, and maybe that colorful personality would do well in the Miami area.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, at this point, I mean, do they really, you know, do they really have anything to lose, you know, with where they are and what they're doing? But I, you know, like, I don't see them making a trade for him. You know, this is more something that would be done in, you know, in the off season when he becomes a free agent. But again, I don't know where they are or how they're, you know, how they're going to kind of go with it. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, you know, it's an interesting division. You know, no team has really jumped out and said, hey, you know, we're going to take it. I know, you know, really early on, everybody was buying the Cardinals and they went in the tank, and then, you know, when Milwaukee went into first place, I heard somebody say that the division was over. I was like, yeah, okay, great, here we go. I'm not going to buy this already. But, yeah, here we go. The division was over. And, you know, then the Cubs ended up in first place for a little while. So, it's just one of those, you know, odd situations that you –
with all those teams, if you take a look at those various lineups in that division, the team that impresses me is – Pittsburgh. They seem to have a very solid lineup from top to bottom, but I'm not sure how good their pitching is.
It's been quite surprising. You know, I think of, you know, the teams that have kind of hung around. I wasn't expecting Pittsburgh to hit, you know, just because kind of looking at their lineup coming into the year. I mean, you know, there wasn't anything, you know, that impressive. And Josh Bell had never done, you know, anything like this before. I mean, he's already set a career high in home runs. So, but yeah, you know, they're getting, you know, fantastic production.
Yeah, Bell might wind up with 140 RBIs this year. Who knows? The way, if he if he bats the same as he did in the second half as he did in the first half, he could be the runaway RBI leader.
You know, there could be guys with 70 home runs too, with the, you know, the way they do these things. But you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, it's, you know, what's weird is I think out of all the contenders, Pittsburgh may have the best core of relievers, and that's where everybody else seems to fall down. Obviously, you know, like Milwaukee has Josh Hader at the end, and everybody seems to have their closer, but getting the ball to that closer is an issue for most of these teams, really, you know, except Pittsburgh, who have, you know, some really quality setup guys. Kyle Crick has kind of popped out of nowhere, and Liriano's done a nice job out of the bullpen. Then once you get it to Vasquez, I mean, it's pretty much over, you know, when he gets there. So, they have that huge advantage. They're not adding anybody. I mean, they're not going to go out and, you know, get Madison Bumgarner for the rest of the year or, you know, any of these guys that are available. It's just not the Pirates style. So,
No, but they might hang in there for the duration of the season. And I'm wondering, you think 83, 84 wins is gonna be enough to win that division?
Yeah, it's looking now like that's about all it's going to take, you know, 83, 84, 85, you know, those kind of numbers are going to get you there. But, you know, it's a really equal division and the teams beat up on each other. You know, I mean, they don't have a patsy like the Marlins or the Orioles that you play the 17 or the 19 games against. I forget what the schedule says. So, you know, it makes for, you know, quite interesting matchups because, I mean, legitimately anybody can beat anybody else on any given day. It doesn't matter what's going on.
Yeah, and I wonder, of the teams in the Central Division right now, and maybe your computer will give you a quick answer, who has the best road record?
Let's see. Right now, it looks like actually Pittsburgh does. They're 22-24 on the road.
Yeah, well, it might come down to that. It might come down to that. Maybe they could sneak in Pittsburgh. That would be a shocker, though, if they won the division.
Yeah, I don't see them. I think eventually they'll fade along Cincinnati. If St. Louis can't get healthy, you know, they're going to have a problem. I mean, their closer's done for the year, and, you know, they're always saying he may miss all of next year because he's going to need elbow surgery, and, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't bring guys back.
They have played better lately, though. They have played better.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they'll go with as in the closer's role. Is, you know, what'll happen there, but you know, we'll see how that ends up playing out. And you know, the Brewers are always good for an ad, you know, so I won't be surprised if they go out and get a guy, you know, to mix in. I'm just not quite sure, you know, where they'll make the jump. I would guess again it's probably pitching. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try get in on one of the starters that are hanging out there like they like to do. But yeah, unless their phenom at second base flops and they feel they need a middle infielder.
Yeah, it seems like their pitching doesn't seem to be all that strong. And I'm trying to think of who has the best starting pitching now in the Central Division.
Game value, the Cubs easily have the best, you know, well, if they're healthy, you know, obviously they got to get healthy. But, yeah, you know, like even, you know, you look at Milwaukee, and, I mean, the back end of that rotation is rough. But, you know, again, besides Hader, you know, they don't have much they can hang their hat on in the bullpen either. I mean, you're looking at guys, you know, besides Hader, the best ERA is 3.57, and that's rough coming out of the bullpen. So, you know, they – they definitely have some spots to add. You know, you just got to wonder eventually, are they going to, you know, run out of prospects to continue to give up to add these guys?
Yeah. My surprise team, I always thought there would be a surprise contender in that division was Cincinnati. But they have experienced some bad luck in terms of their starting players being injured. Now, I think Jeanette was hurt again the other day. Isn't he out of lineup again?
Yeah. Yep, he is. He is out again. So, this time
he played a few games.
What? Yeah, he had tightness in the groin that kept him out for so long. So.
Yeah, and of course, since he's been back, he hasn't really looked like the player he was last year.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they haven't hit really well. I mean, you know, Joey Votto is hitting better as of late. You know, he's up to .271 now, which is, you know, fantastic. But, yeah, like they, you know, they don't have an everyday 300 hitter in their lineup. So, you know, it's a tough sell. I know everybody was kind of on the bandwagon early that they were going to kind of break out. And, you know, Luis Castillo has been really good for them in the rotation. And, you know, Tanner Roark and Sonny Gray have been solid, but that's about where it ends. And they're the team that seems to be having closer trouble. You know, Raciel Iglesias was the hot guy and everybody wanted him for the longest time. And, you know, now the ERA is up over 4 and he's 2-7. So he's really having some issues.
Yeah, he is.
So.
And I don't think the Cincinnati fans are too enchanted with Votto, even though he has hit a lot better over the last month or so. He only has, I think, what, 8 home runs, the last I heard. So his power is way down.
Never been a big power guy. You know, I mean, I know he had that one year where he kind of blew up, but I don't think he – I want to double check, but I don't think he's ever been a huge power guy. He's got 230 homer seasons, but, like, last year he only had 12. So.
Not to take away from his playing ability. He's a good ball player.
Yeah. He's got a .309 career average and, you know, what's odd this year is normally his walk-to-strikeout ratio, normally his walks are ahead. This year he's actually struck out 30 more times than he's walked. So that may kind of have an effect on the fact that he's hitting .271 instead of closer to his .309 career average.
Well, also he got off to a bad start for the first couple of months of the season.
Yeah.
Once you start out bad like that, it takes a long, long time to get back to a respectable batting average, although .271 by today's standards is pretty decent.
Hall of Fame worthy. So, but, looking at the roster, I don't think the Reds are going anywhere or adding anybody, you know, even though they technically are still hanging around in the race. I know they were hoping for, you know, something out of Alex Wood, and he just – kind of did what Alex Wood always did, and he got hurt, and I don't think he's pitched this year. You know, I know they moved him to the 60-day DL because of that back problem, so, you know, that doesn't look like they're going to get anything out of him this year. They have some veteran bullpen pieces that maybe they can sell for a little bit, but they don't, you know, they don't have anything that's going to knock anybody, you know, out with a deal, so... You know, we'll have to see.
My process of elimination, you're saying that the three teams that'll be in contention at the end of the season for the division will be the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, kind of like everybody thought. I mean, of course, you know, health plays a lot into it. You know, we'll have to see who can come back and who can get healthy. Because the Cardinals, not only are they missing their closer, you know, Matt Carpenter should be back after the All-Star break. Marcell Ozuna has those couple of broken fingers, so who knows what's going to happen with him. So, it's a little interesting there. I mean, on the plus side for the Cardinals, Dexter Fowler seems to have woken up. And, while he is only hitting .247 for the year, that's a huge increase from where he he originally was, because I think he was hitting about 100 early in the season.
And look at last year, how bad he was last year. So he's been a very huge disappointment for the Cardinals since they acquired him.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is just really off to a slow start. You know, this is kind of akin to what he did last year, so we'll have to see if he gets hot again. But, you know, he's sitting at 250 with just 14 home runs when, you know, the ball is just flying out of the park. So it's, you know, it's a little...
He's going to come up in the his batting average and his home runs will increase over the last part of the season.
Yeah, you know, you would think, you know, of course, we never know, but you like to think eventually he'll be that guy. But the Cardinals do, you know, they have some interesting young starters. You know, Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson. You know, they've been kind of hanging around. You know, Michael Wacha is. I think at this point they just got to kind of write him off. There's nothing you can do there. You know, and Mikolas isn't anywhere near as good as he was at that, you know, last year. So maybe the league has kind of figured him out. So, you know, they have some rotation issues. You know, even without Hicks, the bullpen has been pretty solid. I honestly think they could probably use Martinez more in the rotation now, but they've kind of committed to making him the closer. So, you know, well, of course, maybe that's the way the game goes today. You know, the starter goes five innings and they try to get it to the closer.
Yeah, and they better make sure they have a couple of good setup guys that can pick the seventh and eighth innings if they want to go that route.
Well, you know, John Gant has been really, I mean, really good for them. And, you know, Andrew Miller has been started and I know is, you know, solid. And they have that John Brebbia who's come through. You know, and the new guy, this Giovanni Gallegos seems like he pitches every day lately. And, you know, he's managed to keep his ERA under three. He's at 2.79. So, you know, they have, you know, definitely have some guys, you know, some younger guys to look at and, you know, see how it works out. But, you know, even just kind of looking at this team, you know, the offense looks good. They have all the names you want to see on the offensive end, even though they're not hitting. But, I just don't think in the end there's enough starting pitching there to get them to the end.
No, probably not. And as you pointed out, if the Cubs starting pitching gets back to healthy again, they may have a good chance to win the division, although, in my opinion, they just don't have the passion that whips the blood. That's an old chess expression, by the way. A former world champion said that about a player one time. He doesn't have the passion that whips the blood. And as far as I'm concerned, the Cubs don't seem to have that killer instinct that a good team needs to wind up winning a division.
Yeah, you know, that may be their biggest problem. You know, I mean, I found it was, you know, that it was interesting last night that the only guy upset about being pitched inside was the manager. You know, the players seem to just kind of take it as, oh, well, okay, that's what they do. But, you know, Kyle Hendricks is back. They should get Cole Hamels back after the All-Star break. And, you know, he's really been their best starter. So, they need guys to pitch like, you know, John Lester needs to be John Lester. And Jose Quintana needs to be the guy he was with the White Sox. Because I don't know. Well, you know, I guess there are those guys who, for whatever reason, seem to pitch better on losing clubs than winning clubs. You know, and Quintana more and more is like that guy.
He's been okay, but I mean, certainly not what they expected of him. Although yesterday he pitched a decent game, he did give up three runs, but kept the Cubs in the game and they managed to win that one. But they need more from him, and I think he was pretty effective the previous time out as well. But unfortunately, he, along with the rest of the pitchers, don't seem to have any consistency in terms of their starts. And this goes for Lester, and this goes for Hendricks. Don't even get me started on Darvish, who is a huge bust so far.
Yeah, it's too bad they can't find anybody to deal that contract to. You know, that would have been that's fantastic. He's useless. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are correct there, and They certainly aren't going to eat that contract, though, so he's going to make a start every five games.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? As long as, Craig Kimbrell can solidify the back of the bullpen and, pitch like Craig Kimbrell, they really should be okay. I mean, you could put their offense up there with anybody's in the division, and they should have the best starting pitching, which should give them enough to win. But sometimes they're mismanaged really poorly, because Madden seems to get excited about making sure guys play multiple positions and, getting, these guys at bats. And I don't understand why they're finding at bats for Daniel Descalzo, who's hitting .186, when you got David Bodie and Addison Russell, who can both play second base and would probably benefit from regular at bats. But
I'm quite surprised that
Descalzo
was still on the team. Didn't you think by now he would
have
been DFA? I thought he'd be DFA by now.
Yeah, I think he's only here because Zobrist is gone. I think if Ben Zobrist was still here, he probably would have been.
And we hear absolutely nothing about the status of Ben Zobrist, so I guess he's done.
I'm guessing with the way things go, this is going to be, this is going to be a swan song. This is how he's going to go out. But, we'll see. I mean, they look like, and it's weird because they really should be the best team in this division. And, you wonder, maybe it's like you said, maybe they just don't have, the Canucks to get the job done, because they let teams hang around. And, last year it cost them. They, technically they didn't even get in the playoffs. They got the extra game, but, whoopee. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the killer instinct to me is the ability for a batter to come up in a clutch situation with one or two outs and runners in scoring position to come through. I think I emailed you the other day. I found a staggering fact about Chris Bryan. On paper, he's having a great bounce-back year. He's hitting, 290, 16 home runs, 17 home runs, fair amount of RBIs. But with runners in scoring position, he's hitting .208. So is he the kind of guy who just can't come through in the clutch like that? Is that going to be his modus operandi for the rest of his career?
Because obviously it could be a small sample size. So, were there a lot of opportunities or, because where he hits in the order, there aren't going to be huge amounts of times he's going to come up with runners in scoring position. He's really the guy who's the runner in scoring position with the way their lineup is put together.
I'm wondering, maybe you know, that's a good point, because I think Javi Baez batted second the other day and Bryan went down, and then he had one of his best games of the season when he batted third instead of second. Home run, a couple of doubles. And could that make a difference? Are they going to keep Javi now in number two instead of Bryan? Or was that a one-off situation?
Who knows? Because really, the Cubs lineup is set up for Anthony Rizzo to drive all the runs in. Which is odd because Baez actually leads the team, but it's really set up for Rizzo to be the guy to drive all the guys in. But he's been a little subpar this year.
Yeah, he got hot for a while. Now he's slumping again the last several weeks of the season. Well, I think the most consistent RBI man so far is Contreras.
Yeah, he's had a real nice bounce back year. I mean, the Cubs may have the best catching duo in baseball. With the way Caratini's played, who you wanted to sell down the river last year. So.
Yes, and he surprised me this year. He certainly, and has even come back now after his injury, and seems to be playing great ball again. But it's funny about the Cubs, though. They seem to go through these patterns. Bodie was bad for a while, for example. Then he gets hot for several weeks, a month. He's really hitting the ball great. He looks terrific at the plate, confident. And now he strikes out every time. I think as in the game the other day when he struck out four times. So these guys seem to go through these peaks and valleys, and that's baseball, I know, but you would think you would get a little more consistency out of these players.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that, you know, and that may be the key. I mean, whichever team, you know, kind of works things out, because, you know, the way it's shaken out, that may be the only division race we have to talk about, because, you know, after that, the next closest, you know, the Braves have a 6-game lead in the NL East, the Twins have a 6-game lead, you know, over in the AL Central. But, you know, like the Dodgers are running away with it. They're 14.5 up, and, you know, the Yankees are 7.5 up. So you know, there's not going to be a whole lot to talk about, except for, you know, the race in the NL Central. So
have the Twins come back to earth a little bit, because they had a bigger, much bigger lead than that for quite a while. They had a 9 or 10 game lead. So does Cleveland have a chance to actually pass them over the next few months?
Yeah, you know, the scary part isn't so much if Cleveland has a chance, but does Cleveland want a chance? You know, I mean, they've been trying to move guys for God only knows how long, and I just don't know if, you know, they would be willing to be competitive.
Maybe they want to regroup and rebuild again.
Yeah, that, you know, that
certainly aren't drawing. They certainly aren't drawing the fans.
Well, they never have. So.
No, it's and some of the regular players there, their averages are just horrible, horrific. Kipnis, what has happened to him over the last couple of years? Is he even hitting 200?
Yeah. You know, I wonder if the injuries have just finally caught up with him. You know, he's hitting 235, but, you know, he's been dinged so much. I mean, you know, the guy I can't figure out, and I believe he did hit 2 homers last night, was, you know, Jose Ramirez has been an MVP candidate for the last couple of years, and now he's hitting 217. So, you know, I don't know how that goes away so quickly.
You know, I wonder if it's an accumulation of small injuries that these ballplayers get over the years that would diminish their capacity to hit consistently year after year.
So, yeah, you know, you do wonder. And, I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, you know, I don't know if any team could have recovered what the Indians went through. They lost their top two starting pitchers. You know, Carrasco had that, well, I guess they decided it was a blood condition, so they have no idea when he's coming back. And then Kluber was hit by the line drive, so they don't expect him back till August. You know, it seems like, you know, they had Danny Salazar, who was a top pitching prospect probably, you know, 3 years ago, that just never found his footing at the big league level.
No.
But, you know, I mean, you know, they've got some, you know, Trevor Bauer's a nice pitcher, so, you know, we'll have to see if they decide to deal him. But, they have some younger guys. You know, Shane Bieber has pitched well. What's the guy from Plesac? I always want to say Dan because he's the guy on the MLB Network, but it's
right.
Zach, nephew or something, has been solid. So, you know, they have some younger guys, and, you know, it looks like that's the way they want to go. But, you know, they, you know, obviously you can't trade an injured Kluber. You know, that kind of buried anything there. So I guess Bauer would be the big name if they're going to do something. But, yeah, you know, because, I mean, you look at their lineup and it's just kind of, you know, okay, you got Francisco Lindor, who's obviously one of the top players in the game. But, you know, I mean, I know Carlos Santana is having a nice year, but, you know, he's playing over his head. You know, who knows what's going on with Ramirez. I really liked when they added Jake Bowers. I thought that was a great addition. And with the exception of hitting for the cycle, he stunk.
Yeah, you know, you look at their lineup and you look at the injuries, and yet over the past month or so, they seem to be making a nice inroads in the games they play. They seem to be playing better and winning games, and despite the injuries and their mediocre lineup, and now they're only, what, 6 games behind when they were 10 games behind a few weeks ago, if I remember correctly. They were 11 games behind. So they made some ground on Minnesota.
You know, their pitching is keeping them in it. You know, it helped that they got Mike Clevenger back. You know, I know his first start coming back from injury was terrible. I think Baltimore lit him up for like 13 runs. But, you know, he got kind of right back in the groove. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, Bieber and Plesac have been well. You got Bauer at the top. I mean, they've come up with 4 reliable starters, you know, even through all these goofy injuries. And, you know, you look at their bullpen numbers, and, you know, with the exception of Tyler Olson, this is a really good bullpen. You know, I mean, even Tyler Clippard is contributing, who I thought was done 2 years ago. But, you know, he's hanging around, you know, with a 3.15 ERA in the 24 games he's appeared in. So, you know, if the starters can give him the innings, the bullpen seems to be able to close it down, which, you know, is one of the things you can't say about a lot of teams in baseball today.
That's true. And, you know, take a look at the teams that are in contention for the wild card in the American League, and they got to be up there. They have a chance to get in as a wild card, even if they can't catch Minnesota.
I find so weird with this team is technically they actually are the second wild card team right now. Looking at the race, they're a game ahead of Oakland, but Oakland has played 2 more games. And it's just – it's so weird because you've got this team that can win, but, I mean, I guarantee you they're not adding anything. You know, they're not going to go out and add a starting pitch. They're not going to go out and add a bat. You know, they're actually still looking to deal. And I'm just so confused by it.
Yeah, it's puzzling because, as you pointed out, they're a wild card team right now. And I'm wondering, is Tampa a lock to be a wild card team this year? You think at least one of the two? Do you think they're a wild card team?
Yeah, it's looking like it. But again, I mean, you know, you never know. We still got a little less than half a season to play. But yeah, they as good as they've been, you know, you kind of wonder if. Maybe it's a little bit, but again, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, there are teams hanging around. I mean, the A's and the Rangers are right there, and so's the Red Sox. Technically you can't count on the White Sox, but they would need a big run to get there.
Forget about that. For this year.
And who knows?
Yeah, Tampa always surprised me every year, and I can never figure out.
Yeah.
They don't look on paper. They don't look all that good, but they always seem to have a team that's well over 500 and always playing good ball. And it's a shame, though, that despite the fact there always seems to be a team that at least is a shot for a wild card every year, the fans do not support them.
If you think about it, I mean. You know, you're looking at Florida, and I mean, the majority of people who live in Florida have moved to Florida, and they already have a team. So, you know, there's not much of a way they're going to adopt a new team. You know, and even like Dan told me when he went to the game, the stadium is a pain to get to. You know, there's no good way to get there. So, you know, that's always going to hinder any kind of attendance if it's a bad track. So.
And another thing against them is that, let's talk about the young fan base in the Tampa area. There are so many other things that the fans can do besides go to the games. They have Busch Gardens, which is in Tampa, maybe 100 miles away is Orlando or Disney World and Universal and SeaWorld, a lot of different things that the fans can spend their money on. So, especially the young fans with kids, you know. What do you think the kids would rather do? go to a baseball game or go to Disney World.
Right. You know, especially if, you know, it's easier to get to Disney World. You know, if the drive is better, then, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, they have their own expressways and everything else.
Probably talking about
there.
The same, wouldn't it? So.
It's not a problem driving in the Orlando area, but I have not been to the Tampa ballpark, so I've been to Busch Gardens, so I'm not sure. But according to what Dan said, it's not easy to get to it, and that could. I wonder why they built a stadium there if they would have their poor access to get to the ballpark. They know they would cut into the fan base, which isn't good to begin with.
You know, the stadium doesn't do them any favors either because it's terrible. So, I don't know. I know they got permission to explore playing, you know, half their games in Montreal. I don't understand at this point. Just move the damn franchise there. I mean, I know you want a team in Florida, but, you know, go. Let them go.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen, a split season like that between Tampa and Montreal. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I mean, if you're going to do it, go ahead and just play all your games in Montreal.
Yeah, just be sure that you have a dome stadium if you're going to play there in April and May.
Yeah, well, I think they do have, a new place to play. It's not Olympic Stadium, anymore. They got a new, a new venue. And, obviously, it's clear that baseball wants to go back there. You know, the problem is that, you can't just add one expansion team. If you're going to add an expansion team, you got to add two.
It
would probably be better if just one team would relocate. And, I still don't know why they're even messing around with it. Just pack the stuff up in Tampa Bay and head to Montreal. And nobody's going to care in the Tampa area.
No, they wouldn't care at all. But I don't think that Montreal ever supported the team all that well when they had a team there. They were okay.
Well, I think they did when they won.
Yeah. Well, it usually helps. So you figure that a winning team, you're going to draw more. But as we pointed out in previous broadcasts and even alluding to it tonight, that's not always the case. And the first example that comes to mind, besides Tampa, is Cleveland.
Yeah. Atlanta, who has, has won
Atlanta
for years.
That's right.
And never
what did they win? Nine or ten in a row, and they won the division 9 or 10 years in a row, and they still didn't draw very well.
No. Even now, the two worst drawing teams in baseball right now are the Marlins and the Rays. And the Rays have, what is it, the second or third best record in baseball? Let's see here.
So even a winning team and one of the best records in baseball, as you pointed out, is not sufficient for them to attract any kind of a fan base.
Yeah, to show up. And, you look at, some of the other teams, like Pittsburgh is kind of hanging around as a contender. They're at 27. Nobody's going to the park there. Cleveland and Oakland are 22 and 23, and they're both hanging around in the playoff race. At this point, what do you give your fan base? You're winning.
Yeah.
What more do they want?
And if I remember correctly, even in their glory years, Oakland didn't draw that well until it got to the playoffs in the World Series. So I don't think they ever drew as well as San Francisco, let's put it that way.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned San Francisco, who's obviously a really bad team this year. They're actually 11th in attendance so far this year.
Yeah, and they certainly have supported the team over the years, even when they were in Candlestick, which was just a horrible place, horribly situated ballpark.
It's just kind of interesting that, you look at it and it's like, man, you've got a winner. Why the hell aren't you going to watch him play? I get it. I don't expect anybody to go every night. I know ticket prices are out of control, but, geez, what more do you want?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the where Oakland plays. How is it a decent ballpark to play for the fans, or just is it a routine type ballpark?
It's a pit. That's why they're building a new stadium.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that'll help. Yeah. Well, one of the nicest stadiums, and I would love to visit it one day, is the one in Kansas City, where the Royals play. It's a beautiful stadium. They did a good job in that one. They did a good job in Baltimore too, building a nice stadium.
You wouldn't have any problems walking up and buying tickets for either of those games right now. So,
no,
there's
not at all.
Plenty of good people available. So.
They might not have good teams, but they certainly have nice looking ballparks.
Yeah, I'm sure Baltimore is kind of at the point now where their fans are probably waiting for them to improve, and sadly, it looks like that wait might be quite a while. I mean, not only are they in a top heavy division, but I really haven't seen any shining lights on this team, I guess, so to speak, that, you can build around, but besides Trey Mancini, but, he's 27. If the team isn't good for 3 or 4 more years, you got to wonder what's left there at that point. So
it's hard to imagine that team being anything other than the last place team for the next 2 or 3 years, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see any way for them to get out of the basement.
No, they've got nothing, and I know their minor league system isn't anything spectacular. So, it's just kind of, where they are until they can put it together and hope it works out. But they are a long, long way from being anything.
And their attendance shows it. Has there been any talk about them moving to another city?
No, they're because, if the team is good, people go there. That's the one thing about Baltimore is if they can put a good product on the field, fans will show up. Unless they decide that they're playing for nobody, but it's just. It's just kind of how it is. I mean, we'll see. I mean, they have some young guys coming through the system, and we'll see if they're the real deal. But it looks like pitching is pitching, which is the key, is a long way away. They only have one top prospect in AAA, so
yeah, they're on the. I don't see anything on the horizon for them for the next few years. I do see some improvement, by the way. Talk about improvement in terms of attendance for the White Sox. I think they're starting to generate a little bit of interest there, and they seem to have some decent crowds over the last few weeks.
Yeah, you would think, eventually. I mean, the team's hanging around. They're a couple games under 500. They've played some good baseball, and I know they're not a sellout every kind of game like the other side of town is, but they've got some guys that are fun to watch, and I mean, Eloy Jimenez is pretty much doing what they're expected. Now Yoan Moncada looks like that guy who was the number one rated prospect for all those years. So
it
looks like they're going the right way.
Yeah, and they have a couple of excellent prospects in AA that look like can't miss big leaguers. So they're generating some interest.
What is it, that Luis Robert, I think.
Robert, he looks like he's going to be a very tough ballplayer and a good ballplayer. But you never know, of course. I don't think he's moved up to AAA yet, so we'll have to see how that happens, but it looks like he has a lot of potential.
Everybody's high on that Nick Mandragold as well. They still have some pitching. I mean, we saw Dylan Cease, who I was surprised they kept him on the roster. They sent Carson Fulmer down instead of Dylan Cease. They've got another kid in AAA, Ian Hamilton, who could help the bullpen. So, they have some young you know, young guys. I mean, they brought that Zach Collins up, the catcher, you know, to kind of get a little bit of a taste at the major league level, because I think they're hoping he can take over next year as the number one guy. So, it, you know, they – but, yeah, there's definitely guys. I mean, you look at their – you know, they're minor leagues, and I know most of them are in double A right now, but, you know, so they're a year away, basically.
Yeah, it's unfortunate they've had some bad luck in terms of injuries for some potentially interesting starting pitching that won't be available for a year, year and a half at least now. Kopech for one of them.
Yeah, well, Kopech, you know, they should get Kopech back next year. I mean, Carlos Rodon at this point, I think you just got to write that off. He's never going to be healthy. There's just nothing you can do about that. So.
Yeah, some guys just can't seem to stay away from injuries, and we'll never figure out why. But there's some players just bite the bullet.
You know,
come
with the trading deadline coming along, you know, John Jay's got some at-bats under his belt. He's right at the 300 level. So you wonder if a veteran may come calling for him. And then, you know, the White Sox do have a closer in Alex Colome who could be pretty attractive to teams with some bad bullpens. So you got to wonder if maybe they can make a couple more deals and even add a little more to what looks like a fantastic farm system.
Yeah, and Colome's having a terrific year as their closer. And if they were to settle him, and the rumors are abounding about that, of course, what would they get in return? Prospects, or would they get an MLB actual major league player in return?
You know, I don't think they would even want that. Because they're still a year or two away. So they're not interested in bringing, unless he's young, you know, they're not interested in bringing anybody that they're going to add to the roster. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they took a couple A-level guys that they could develop, because they've seemed to have really good luck developing their own players.
Yeah, of course, I don't think the fans would be too happy about seeing a good closer like Colome go for just prospects, but maybe
you look at
two or three years.
Right. You know, I mean, you look at it, he's not going to be here when the team wins. I think he's only on a one-year deal. So it's not like he's going to be here. You know, and fans need to learn to understand that. Yeah, he's only signed through this year. He actually still is arbitration eligible next year, but, maybe he would stick around if the White Sox could get him at a good number. So, yeah, but, I mean, you know, there's no harm in moving this guy along and, you know, adding more to what is eventually going to be your contending team.
Yeah, and I could see them doing that in the next couple of years if things keep developing for them as they have been.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it looks like, you know, they've been patient. It looks like they're on the right track. So we'll see how it eventually shakes out. But, you never know. You never know how these things go. But, injuries play a big part.
Unlike the north side of town, the fans aren't going to come out to see them play unless they're playing winning baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the problem they have. It's always, just kind of like that. You know, either you're winning or we're going to stay home.
Yeah,
you know, and even to some extent.
There's so much more fun when a team is in contention than an also-ran.
Yeah, well, you know, of course. I mean, you'd rather see the team win than lose, so. You know, we see how it goes, but that's just, hey, the fireworks are going off. It's a little early for that. Jeez. So,
today's the 5th. It shouldn't be any fireworks anymore.
Yeah, you know how that kind of goes. But, all right, let's knock these out while I'm thinking about it. We,
You did. How'd you do last week? You ended up with 4-1. The only thing you made the mistake of is you had two Cubs being added to the All-Star team, and there was only one. So you're but we're 36-10. You got a short week because we'll actually be back together when the next series of the week takes off. It's two games against the White Sox for the Cubs. I didn't even look at the pitching matchup. You'll have to do that on your own. So the main question here is, are they going to sweep?
Who are you talking about?
The Cubs. Always the Cubs.
The White Sox. Always the Cubs?
Always the
Cubs.
Yeah,
I think they're going to. In my opinion, it'll be a reverse sweep for them this time. Instead of 2-0, it'll be 0-2. I'm going for a White Sox sweep.
Since we have some spacing to fill here, I noticed that the San Diego Padres have the longest losing streak currently in Major League Baseball at 5 games. They are playing the Dodgers tonight, and they are facing Clayton Kershaw. Do they break their losing streak tonight, yes or no?
No.
All right. And then we'll throw one more here while you're at it. The Houston Astros have the longest winning streak in baseball. They are currently at 5 games. And come on. Hopefully my internet will work before. There we go. Look at that. Just popped up on me. Yeah, they are
right
at 5 games. They are playing. There. It's July. They are home against the Angels. They have Justin Verlander going tonight. So do they get the 6 games, or do they lose to the Angels?
No, they get to their 6th game tonight.
All right. So we got the Padres taking an L and the Astros getting a W. And you have the Cubs beating the White Sox in both their games this weekend.
I have the White Sox beating the Cubs both games.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I write them down wrong. It just kind of happens that way. But, you know. So there we go. We're all set and tied up. And on the year, you are 36-10, so you're rolling along with your predictions here.
That's not too bad.
No, and I still hate this idea with Major League Baseball that, you know, the Cubs, the Sox, the Indians, and the Reds get a Friday off because of the stupid interleague play. So.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, just say about my percentage is around 782. It's not too bad. I kind of mentally figured out the actual percentage of how close I am, but 78% isn't bad, right?
If a team could play that way down the stretch, they would be just fine.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have any problems getting into the playoffs, would they?
Well, at least you hope. Well, of course, if the Marlins played 78%, they probably still wouldn't get in. But, you know, if just about any – maybe the Marlins and the Orioles would be the only team that had that problem. So.
Right. And they still wouldn't draw.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nobody would still show up at the park.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. But as we talked about, the cost is so high now to go to a baseball game. I'm sure the average fan can't afford to see more than one a year.
Then you think, you know, do you want to, you know, how often do you want to go see a bad team as well? So.
Right. That doesn't help.
No. But that's when, you know, you use the Dan strategy. You go when they're playing a good team and you watch the good team.
Yeah, it's some people do that. I've never done that. I've never gone specifically to see another team play. I've always been to go to a game to see the team that I want to root for.
Tom Hurley, that's for Friday, as we've done already. If I do this right now, we're not going to start Monday. We have seen Monday at 5:30. Check out the radio. course, you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Mark Stein. As always, now, big thanks for coming out here. I'm making them live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want. All you got to do is head over to tunein.com. Have a good day.